Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Steve Malanga back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Steve is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor to City Journal. He's been writing about public policy issues for many years. He's the author of The New Left, How American Politics Works Today. And as I say, he's our good friend, Steve Malanga. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Steve, one of the things that's been that I guess people have written a book about, I certainly know that they could, we could write books. You and I could sit down and write this book quickly if you haven't already. And that is the difference between the one dimensional way our government thinks about problems and the multifaceted problems their solutions create.
Right.
And I mean, this is a story. Has anybody written this book, Steve? Have you written this? I know you've probably written articles about this, but couldn't you write a very important book about these things?
Well, you know, there are many people who write about the unintended consequences of government policies.
Collateral damage is another term.
There you go. And actually, probably the first book, or really a pamphlet written about this, was written in 1850 by the French economist Bastiat.
Frédéric Bastiat, yeah.
Right. It's called Things Seen and Unseen. And,
right.
You know, in this he lays out, and this is, I mean, if you think about this in 1850, what a tremendous insight this
is.
What he says, basically, is that we make policies based on immediate short-term effects, and that generally those policies also have longer-term consequences that we don't think about.
Right.
And then he says, and this is, I think, you know, so prescient, he says, you know, generally when the short-term consequences are good, the long-term consequences are very
bad. Right, right. Folks, this is the same Bastiat that you hear me quoting all the time about when goods cross borders, armies don't, and that there's always a candle maker who wants the sun to not shine, you know.
I mean,
folks, if you ever get a chance to read any of Bastiat's stuff, see, Steve, I call him the 19th century French economist / comedian.
Yes, right. He did have a sense of humor.
He had a great sense of humor. It was just incredible. It makes it fun to read what he says. But the truth is the wisdom of his thinking is amazing.
Well, and of course, the conclusion that he came to a long time ago, which we've unfortunately completely ignored, is that, you know, government should therefore stay out of these things. Government should be concerned with the basics like national security,
right,
and should stay out of everything else. Because they're not very good at understanding the unintended consequences of their actions.
The reason is because they won't get they don't look much farther than the end of their nose. They don't look much farther than the political motivations that they have right now. And unfortunately, and folks, I know this is a broad sweeping indictment, but it's not that far from being pretty darn accurate. And that is, most of our members of Congress do not understand how the marketplace works. Steve, would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, because the marketplace, first of all, I would claim that I don't understand how the marketplace works in any given case, because it's so complex that if you were to say to me, okay, here's this program, the Cash for Clunkers, let's say, okay, and this is going to be a government policy, and they're going to do this, I could say to you why they shouldn't do it, but I couldn't tell you all the things that were going to happen because of Cash for Clunkers.
I could have.
I could have told you some of them, but everybody's surprised by some of it, and that is one of the reasons why you let the marketplace work.
Well, just like the Sarbanes-Oxley bill, They passed,
that's another good example.
They passed that in like 45 days or something like that. And I wrote about this back in 04, I think it was. And I warned people. I said, anytime the government does anything with this much impact this quickly, it cannot be good.
Well, and, you know, the interesting thing is that our legislation keeps getting more complex and we keep passing it faster and faster. We now have people who, including people who work for us, who their entire job is to actually go and read all of the legislation because they know that the senators and the congressmen and even the president are not reading all the legislation.
No.
So that's their entire job right now. That's where we have come to. So, yeah, that's
right.
Absolutely part of the problem.
That's exactly right. And, by the way, folks, the Waxman-Markey bill that was passed on a Wednesday, on a Saturday morning had 300 pages added to it over that Friday night while everybody was sleeping. So how did they even know what they were voting on? 20 till right back after these messages. I want to talk to Steve a little bit more about that Cash for Clunkers program. We've got some unintended marketplace consequences to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me and for going to my website and for using it and for subscribing to my newsletter and for checking out my blog. And those of you who ask questions on AskJim.biz and listen to interviews and read articles, thank you for that. I appreciate it very much. We work hard to bring all this stuff to you so you can have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business, and it makes us happy when you use it. And we make it available to you for free thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. So I hope you'll check all that out. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We have something that will help you, I think. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And then Twitter, of course, if you want to follow me there. Steve Malega is our guest. He's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor to City Journal, author of the New Left. And we're talking about unintended consequences, things that the government does. You know, I was talking about Sarbanes-Oxley a minute ago, Steve. We were talking about that. In the piece I wrote back in, I guess it was 04, I've forgotten, 03, 04, as they were about to pass this law, I pointed out that they were reacting. The law was reacting to actually 8 or 10 companies out of the 15,000 publicly traded companies. There were about 8 or 10 who were the miscreants, and they were passing this law as a reaction to what those guys were doing. And I did the math on it, and it was something like 8-10 thousandths of all the CEOs in America were part of this bad group.
Well, you know, it's a toss-up between whether the government does more harm when it decides that it needs to, you know, clamp down on 8 CEOs, or when it decides that it needs to help somebody,
right.
An industry like the auto industry.
Right.
I don't know which you know, because we know some of the fallout from Sarbanes-Oxley, but the thing is they're now patting themselves on the back for what they've done in Washington with the Cash for Clunkers. Not understanding, again, this notion that we were talking about before the break of unseen consequences. You know, the visible consequences, car sales have gone up. Isn't this great? You know, we finally, out of $1 trillion in stimulus, we finally found $1 billion that works.
Right.
And that sort of becomes, you know, the narrative, the storyline.
But let me throw out, I have an unintended consequences story.
Love to hear it.
There are people out there, one of whom I know very well, who sell clunkers to people who can't afford anything
else.
So this person called me the other day, someone very close to me, this person called me the other day and said, Jim, my inventory has dried up. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're taking these clunkers that they're trading in that I used to be able to buy and then resell. He even finances it for people. They can pay by the week. These are people who can't afford a nice car. They need to get to work. They don't have good credit. They don't have the ability to go to the bank and borrow money. So he finances it for them. He provides a great service for these people to get to work, to get their kids to school. Many of them are single mothers. And he goes and buys these clunkers and fixes them up, gets them roadworthy, and then sells them to these people and finances it for them. Now, he makes a good living doing this, but he provides a great service. And he said, Jim, my inventory's dried up because when... He said, you know what they do with these cars? I said, no. He said, they take them out back, and they pour some kind of a concoction in the motor, in the gas tank, and they rev the car up, and it blows up the engine.
You mean that's what the government is doing?
That's what they have to do with these cars.
Right,
see,
I understand. Yeah.
See, part of the cash for clunkers deal is these
here,
cars can never go back on the road.
Yeah, you know, up here in New York, we have a whole section of the city of Queens called Willets Point that is filled with dozens of car repair shops, mostly run by immigrants, and their entire business is basically fixing up your 1988 Toyota that you trade in for, you know, $100 or $200, and just selling it to someone else so that it stays on the road. So I've been wondering what those guys at Willets Point are going to be doing. But you're right, it's an entire industry. But let's face it, anytime government gets involved at this level in the economy, part of what they do is they raise costs for the people at the bottom of the income spectrum.
Right.
You know, in whether they're, you know, encouraging those of us who can afford it to buy newer cars and junking the older ones, or whether they're putting new regulations on restaurants that they're having to, you know, but you understand what I mean?
But see, Steve, it's not just that they were trying to get the automobile industry going again. It's also part of this climate change agenda that they have, because they presume that these cars are belching CO2, belching all these poisons. And so they don't want them to go back into the marketplace. They want, as far as they're concerned, they're killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting, of course, and the real issue there is extremely complicated, because what you're doing is you're shortening the life of certain cars in order to build new cars.
Right.
Well, I can guarantee you that the manufacturing process for building a new car is far more energy consuming.
Yes.
So then
just keeping that old car on the road.
Yeah, and I mean, we've had a number of important economists write for us at City Journal precisely about how, you know, many so-called environmentally friendly policies, in fact, in one way or another, actually just push consumption in a different direction, you know, push it sideways instead of really actually, you know. So, again, but that is a version, I guess you call a scientific version of Bastiat's principle of unintended consequences, because the immediate seen benefit is, oh, well, we're going to have fewer clunkers on the road.
Right.
The unseen consequences are, though, is that we're manufacturing more cars that consume more energy in the manufacturing of them, and we know that people manufacture.
Sort of like, it also has to do with ethanol by corn. That's another example.
Lots of unseen consequences
there. And we're going to talk about this and some other unseen consequences, folks, you might not have thought about, with our good friend Steve Malanga. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Malanga. Steve is contributing editor to City Journal and senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, author of the New Left, which is an outstanding book, folks, on how politics is changing in America, and it's going to, whether you know it or not, it's going to be impacting you a lot in the future. Steve, tell us how we can contact you, how we can find your book.
Well, of course, I'm at city-journal.org. That's where I spend most of my time at the Manhattan Institute. But also, of course, I write a weekly column for realclearmarkets.com, all about trying to sort of talk about public policy in terms of sensible, you know, economics, what we actually know as opposed to what often appears in the press. Those are probably the best places to find me. And, you know, I've been thinking about the book quite a lot these days because, as you know, the main point of the book is that public employee unions and social service advocates and people like that who essentially live off of government money have been gaining control. My book, which was published in 2005, it was actually, I think, too early in this respect. The book was a warning that at the state and local level, these folks were gaining a tremendous amount of power and that they were now going to upscale this power to the national level.
And we saw this in California recently, didn't we?
Well, certainly, if you look at California, New Jersey, New York, essentially what these budget impasses and these so-called blue state economies that are now melting down because they simply cannot afford their agenda are heavily controlled by public sector unions, and in New York and New Jersey, 65% of all public sector employees are organized. And of course, we now have a president who came out of community organizers. He came out of the government-funded social services.
Right.
So why does a president like that think or believe in big government solutions? Well, that's where he lived.
That's his worldview.
Yeah, exactly. So, unfortunately, I think I published this book in 2005 when we were in the middle of a big economic boom or bubble or whatever, and nobody was really worried at that. Well, what are you talking about? You know, the Republicans control Congress and the Republicans control the White House, and we got plenty of money to spend on all this stuff.
You're an oracle, Steve, and you're exactly right. But I knew what you were talking about, and as you know, we launched the book on this show. Absolutely,
absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, Steve, you're exactly right, folks. I really hope you'll find this book because there are cautionary tales on every other page. Steve, back to the unintended consequences of the government's behavior. You know, I mentioned ethanol. Almost every gallon of gas you get in America today has ethanol in it. Folks, it takes more than a gallon of carbon fuel to make a gallon of corn ethanol. Right, Steve?
And you know, the interesting thing
Still subsidizing that.
Right. And you know, the interesting thing about all that is that when this really came down, the consequences of this were actually global, which really tells you how hard it is, why we have to be very careful of government policy. Because we produce enough food for ourselves here in the United States, but we did produce a spike in food prices in the United States. But what we really produced, we export so much food. What we really produce is we helped produce a global rise in prices. Mm-hmm. The biggest impact was in places like
only about a year or so ago, right?
Right, right. Because we have this, and that's as the economy gets bigger and more complex, we need to be ever more careful. But instead, we're doing the exact opposite.
So you're saying that the people actually were caused to be hungry because of the price increases that we created?
Absolutely. Well, not only the price increases, but the shortages.
Yeah.
Because we were shipping this stuff rather than shipping it around the world.
Unintended consequences.
And that was you remember in April of 2008, before this all began, one of the big issues was global hunger and a global famine that was in part produced not because we had any global flyer storms, not because of climate change. It was because we were taking what we were producing and putting it into things.
And
like
folks,
ethanol.
overlay now on that idea, on the possibility of what Steve just told you, which is a reality. Overlay the government's plan, many in the government's plan agenda, to unilaterally cut carbon emissions in the United States. Folks, we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a global marketplace. However we impact production in America, it's going to go somewhere else, isn't it?
Well, of course, much of it already has, and we've seen a lot of that. You know, absolutely. The question is to what extent. You know, we don't cure this problem by sending the problem somewhere else because there are people who are so poor that they are looking for an opportunity, and they are not going to worry about what might occur 75 years from now to their grandchildren.
Right.
When they can't feed themselves today.
The best thing we can do is encourage innovation and entrepreneurship and market solutions in America, folks. That's the key to our success, not government solutions. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, thank you.
Manhattan-Institute.org, city-journal.org. The book is The New Left. The author is Steve Malanga. He's our buddy, and he'll be back another day. I will be, too, after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.